Day 10. I will dwell in your house forever. I will take refuge under the cover of your wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. Living with illness is all the more difficult if I am struggling with a punitive image of God. If I have a notion that God decided to strike me with illness, it will be very difficult to sense that God is merciful. If I have been brought up to believe that God has nothing better to do than find mean ways to hurt the people God has made, I am not likely to trust that God. In a strange way, living with illness often unmasks our latent images of God. We discover that we may harbor suspicions that God has singled us out for punishment via cancer or multiple sclerosis or heart disease. If you have found these kinds of thoughts in your own reflection, they need to be seen for what they are. Illusion. The ongoing witness of Scripture and tradition assures us that God is gracious and compassionate. God's own house is known for hospitality and welcome, not mean-spirited action. The psalmist offers us an image as tender as a mother bird, under whose wings we might shelter. As you pray through your own life with illness, allow yourself to notice how you picture God. If those images and pictures fill you with dread and cowering fear, they need to be ditched. Allow yourself to dwell in the steadfast love of God's own house, to seek shelter under the gentle wing of mercy. Merciful and loving Christ, help me to know you as you are. Grant me a sure sense of your presence and guidance, that as I walk with this illness, I may know that your love is steadfast. Amen. Practice. Allow yourself to sit or lie in a comfortable position. Gently focus your attention on your breath. As you begin to enter the prayer, offer these words, "I will take refuge in you." Repeat the phrase silently, noticing what the phrase evokes for you. Stay with this repetition for as long as you wish. When you are ready, relinquish the words. Focus on the breath. Offer silent thanksgiving. You may wish to journal about your prayer. Day 11. You have gone up on high and led captivity captive. Psalm 68, verse 18. What holds you captive? I could say quite truly that pancreatitis has held me captive. It is true that since 1995, the condition has been a formative force in my life. Because of chronic pancreatitis, I took a medical retirement at age 55. Because of pancreatitis, I haven't had butter, bacon, or a glass of wine in 13 years. Yet living with illness has led me to discover various other captivities. For instance, I am one of many Americans who succumbed to collapsing my identity into work. I was certainly captive to the script, "I am what I do." I also noticed a captivity to my own assumptions of middle-class privilege. I, for example, have decent health insurance and a disability retirement plan. While those are great mercies for me, I realized I was captive to being so self-focused I was not mindful of the needs of others, all those others who have no health care coverage or disability insurance, all those others for whom the costs of prescriptions and hospitalization are prohibitive. The captivity of an illness may lead captivity captive. It may, in time, release us from our blindness to the lack of services to others in our communities, our nations, and in the world. Living with illness and the consequent limitations may offer us the freeing grace of compassion and kindness. The strange truth is that the illness may be the agent of liberation from selfishness and from being blind to others. Gracious God, through this illness may you lead my captivities captive. May you release me into the freedom of being deeply mindful of my neighbor. May you use this illness to lead me into compassion and generosity, remembering that you are always leading us out of slavery into freedom. Amen. Practice. The next time you are in a doctor's office, take the time to notice the other persons who are there. Silently pray, "The Christ in me, bless the Christ in you," as you behold each face. Allow yourself to notice other patients, lab techs, nurses, receptionists, bookkeepers, doctors. Gently, silently, sustain the prayer. If you are so inclined, let this become your prayer practice in every waiting room. A quiet, reflective offering, hid with Christ in the midst of the activity of the clinic, treatment center, or lab facility. Day 12. I am sinking in deep mire, and there is no firm ground for my feet. Psalm 69, verse 2. In 2004, our 30-year-old son Brian was diagnosed with a kind of brain cancer called astrocytoma. He lived for 16 months with this cancer, enduring surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. At one point in 2005, the radiation created swelling in the brain, which led to grand mal seizures. Brian lived with the seizures and with the hospitalizations. He had a 24-hour brain scan that left him sleepless and disoriented. When he came home, he collapsed in tears. He was sinking in mire. He was exhausted by the cancer, by the constant treatment, by the lack of sleep. He felt there was no firm ground. The most faithful act he could offer was falling apart. The fact is that there are moments like this for those of us living with illness. We sense that the ground has given way beneath us. We lose our orientation. We feel deep sadness and fear. And it seems that there is no light shining in the darkness. Allow yourself the truth of these moments. Do not gloss over them. Brian had family and friends who held him and listened to him in his despair. Not all who live with illness have those kinds of resources. Brian lost his footing. The path he eventually found in the aftermath of the seizures was very different than the path he'd previously been on. Merciful and loving Christ, at times I lose my footing. At times I feel I cannot bear up under the duress of this illness. Sustain me in my sadness and fear, in my exhaustion and grief. Encircle me with your love. Amen. Practice. Have you lost your footing at times when living with illness? What has that been like? How have you regained footing, if you have? If not, what shape has your life taken? Reflect on these questions, and if you wish, take the time to write your responses in your journal. It may be that you can't find words to articulate the loss of footing. You may simply want to sit in silence, or you may find that there is a deep sadness that needs accompaniment. If you need the partnership of a friend or a medical professional as you reflect on this aspect of living with illness, you may want to defer the practice until you can tell another of your experience. Be mindful that your mercy for yourself is always held in God's mercy. If you find yourself in despair, know that others have encountered despair, including Jesus. Day 13. Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind. In your great compassion, turn to me. Psalm 69, verse 18. We all want answers. One of my ways of dealing with the mysterious aspects of illness is to get more information. While knowledge can be helpful, it won't necessarily provide answers. Our bodies are amazing creations, and while modern medicine is pretty amazing, it is still more of an art than a science. My grandfather was a physician, and he was fond of saying, "Medicine is an inexact science." When I had my first attack of acute pancreatitis in 1995, the search for why began. I had blood tests, I had CT scans and MRIs. The doctor took a complete medical history, and to this day, we don't really know why it started. Yes, I'd had a bad virus the week before, and sometimes a virus will trigger pancreatitis. Yes, I had high triglycerides, so that could be the source. And yes, there was that physical anomaly, that anatomical glitch. I almost drove myself nuts trying to find an answer. Then I realized that trying to find the answer was trying to find a cure. In and of itself, that's not a bad thing. However, my own search for an answer kept leading me to miss my own life. Yes, it was a different life. It was a life whose boundaries had been enclosed by an illness. In a startling way, letting go of the need for an answer allowed for my soul to heal. A wise physician said to me, "Try to find a balance. Live your life before you lose it, and let yourself know that you live with the illness." Gracious Christ, author of wisdom, grant me the patience and the willingness to live without answers. Help me to cherish each day I am given, and to savor the goodness of the life I am living. Amen. Practice. Beginning today, start keeping track of what you savor in the life you are living with illness. Be specific. Name anything that comes to mind. Often we overlook the goodness that is somewhat ordinary. Beginning to name it helps us notice more of the goodness that coexists with the illness. My own list this morning includes Maggie, our border collie, and Cuthbert and Leftovers, our cats. Also on this ongoing list of what I savor are the aroma and taste of coffee, the roses blooming on the deck, emails from dear friends, much-needed rain. Your list will be as singular as your life. Remember to savor as you move through your day and give thanks. Day 14. As for me, I am afflicted and in pain. Psalm 69, verse 31. Some years ago, I read an article by a woman who was learning to live with an autoimmune disease. She discovered that she had been trying to pass for healthy. In other words, the last thing she would let herself know was that she was afflicted and in pain. It may be that the hardest movement for you in living with illness is the movement of admitting that you are ill. Only when we let ourselves know that truth can we begin to create balance and live in such a way that our life with illness is life. Allowing the truth of the limitations of the illness to delineate our daily patterns allows us to live the truth in love. What would your life look like if you found a creative balance particular to the needs of your body? What if you found yourself able to live with the illness, with its particular necessities and boundaries? What if you were able to tell the truth, in prayer and to yourself, about your experience and your life? O Christ of love and truth, grant me the grace to let myself know the steps to take to honor the life you offer me. May my life with this illness be marked by honesty and prayer. Amen. Practice. Reflect on the adjustments that have been necessitated by living with your particular illness. What was the easiest for you? What has been the hardest? How have you allowed yourself to accept the limitations the illness has presented? As you reflect, if you discover something that seems stuck, allow that to come to prayer. For example, "Gracious God, I know that I need to refrain from eating sugar in order to live with the diabetes. Help my appetite to change, and grant me the desire to honor the life that you have given me." Day 15. You strengthen me more and more. You enfold and comfort me. Psalm 71, verse 21. Perhaps you have known someone whose soul emanates the strength of love, the strength of Christ. An older friend of mine comes to mind, a friend who is a physician, a neurosurgeon, a man who has lived through his first wife's death from cancer, and who daily witnesses death and suffering as he offers his surgical skill in the operating room. He is a man who knows that life is fragile and resilient, beautiful and startling. He has also walked with many families through the valley of the shadow of death. When Christ strengthens us, enfolds us, comforts us, we grow in our capacity for endurance and perseverance in love. We become more able to walk with others in their suffering and grief. We are more inclined to see our own sorrows within the context of the sorrows of the whole human family. Illness can offer peculiar gifts, strange gifts, gifts of souls growing stronger, of hearts softening and comforting. As you live with your own illness, may you be alert to Christ's offering of His own strength for your inner being, that planted in love and rooted in love, you may grow up into His own life for the world. Ever merciful Christ, this day and every day, may you strengthen my heart and soul, that I may receive your comfort and offer that same comfort to others. Amen. practice. Recall someone who has been of great comfort to you as you have learned to live with illness. What qualities does that person's life exhibit? Give thanks for this person and reflect on your own ability to offer comfort. How might you extend comfort to another? Does anyone in particular come to mind? If so, begin by steadily and quietly praying for that other person, awaiting Christ's guidance. Perhaps you need to phone or email or send a card to the person you are led to comfort. Perhaps, for the moment, you are called to steadfast prayer and intercession, respecting the vulnerability of another. Day 16. When my mind became embittered, I was sorely wounded in my heart. Psalm 73, verse 21. Let's be honest. Sometimes living with illness leads us to become embittered. Sometimes we fall prey to resentment. Sometimes we wonder why it is that the illness has come to live with us and not somebody else. The bitter, resentful habit of mind leads to a wounded heart. The bitter, resentful habit of thought leads to a woeful lack of love. When our son Brian was receiving chemotherapy, our weeks were marked by the regular visitation to the oncologist's office. We became part of the Tuesday morning community. Those patients and family members with regular Tuesday morning appointments came to know each other, to share wisdom and strength, humor and candy. One older woman, Emma, had lived with her particular cancer for some time. She had come to the end of possible treatments and was, as she put it, sailing along until the cancer reappeared. She could have been bitter. She was not. She could have been a Pollyanna. She was not. Emma was a realist. She always told the gathered community, "I've been glad for my life. Be glad for yours." We all fall prey to bitterness and resentment from time to time. That's why we need friends and family to remind us, "Be glad for your life." Remember, there are many others who live with illness, and many of them have no way to hear this message. Loving and gentle Christ, help me to notice my own bitterness. Let it not wound my soul. And if it does wound, may I trust in your gentle power to heal my heart and make it new. Amen. Practice. When has your experience of living with illness led to bitterness or resentment? How have you sought guidance? Who has been a friend and companion in those times of reckoning with these feelings? When bitterness or resentment arise, how do you recognize their presence? Do they manifest in your body or in your behavior? Compose a prayer of your own, either asking for help with bitterness and resentment or giving thanks for being delivered from them. Day 17. We give you thanks, O God, we give you thanks, calling upon your name and declaring all your wonderful deeds. Psalm 75, verse 1. My dad suffered a heart attack several years ago. After having angioplasty and recovering from having his heart shocked back into rhythm, he began reflecting on the miracle, as he called it, that he was still alive. One day I found him at his desk doing some math. "What are you computing?" I asked. "I am figuring out how many times my heart has beat in my lifetime, more or less. I have never thanked God for that. I've just taken it for granted. In fact, I've never thanked God for everything that still works, and I am in my 80s. Dad taught me a good lesson that day. He had taken the time to give thanks, not only for coming through a very frightening episode, but also for all that had worked within his own body for so many years. It is so easy for us to focus on what is wrong when we live with an illness or a condition. It is so easy for us to fail to give thanks for the organs and systems that do the work they've been given to do. And it is so easy for us to forget to support our own health by grateful practices that offer our bodies adequate rest, nutrition, exercise, and care. This day, take the time to give thanks for all that works within your own body. Be specific. Thank you for the blood that courses through these veins, taking needed nutrients to all my cells. Thank you for these bones that hold up my flesh. And in the days ahead, add to the thanksgivings, perhaps even writing them down each day. I give you thanks, most gracious God, for the gift of this embodied life, and for all of these organs, systems, and bones that continue to function even with illness. Help me to honor the gift of this body which you have brought into being. Amen. Practice. Give thanks today for what is working within your body. Give thanks for the mysterious perseverance of organs and circulatory systems in the face of bodily disruption. Give thanks not only with prayer, but also by asking yourself what you might do to embody the thanksgiving. That could look like stretching or eating what your body needs, or being faithful about a regimen of medicine. Be creative in embodying the thanksgiving, and be concrete and specific. Day 18. You are the God who works wonders. Psalm 77, verse 14. Several years ago, when I was on staff at an Episcopal church here in San Antonio, during a staff meeting, we began reflecting on the fact that each one of us, had we lived one generation earlier, would probably have died at an early age. One of us had had malignant melanoma. Another had been in a terrible accident and required extensive surgery. Another had almost lost a baby when things went wrong at delivery. An emergency C-section saved both mother and child. We tend to forget that ours is an age of wonders. Laparoscopic surgeries prevent blood loss and extended recovery time. Diagnostic tests catch all kinds of maladies at an early stage, thus allowing for better treatment. Physicians of all specialties bring stunning intellectual and intuitive capacities to the service of their patients. In all of this, the God who works wonders is working. In all of this, divine grace and wisdom is inspiring research, diagnostic care, and ongoing medical attention for a full panoply of diseases and conditions. Remember to thank those who tend you. Remember to give thanks to God for your medicines, for the diagnostic tests that allow for a precise diagnosis, for the aides, the nurses, the technicians, the physicians whose dedication allows you to live with illness. And give thanks to God for the wonders worked in and through human memory, reason, and skill. I give you thanks, most gracious God, for the physicians, nurses, aides, and technicians whose skill and attention has been offered on my behalf. Grant me a deepening awareness of and gratitude for your working in and through their care and ministration. Amen. Practice. Call to mind the various physicians who have tended you as you have lived with your particular illness. Write their names in your journal and give thanks for each one. Recall the nurses who have come to your aid. Write their names in your journal and give thanks for each one. Recall the lab techs who have tended you or have taken blood samples. Write their names in your journal and give thanks. You may be noticing that you do not know all of their names, and yet these people have helped you continue to live, each in their own offering of skill and experience. If you feel led to write to any of these people who have tended you, send them a card. And if you sense it is appropriate, you may want to let their superiors know of a job well done. We are a society of complainers. One gift of living with illness is to be steadfast in naming gifts received and letting others know of your gratitude for work well done. Day 19. He led them with a cloud by day and all the night through with a glow of fire. Psalm 78, verse 14. This line from Psalm 78 recounts the experience of the Israelites as they trekked through the wilderness of Sinai after having escaped from slavery in Egypt. The living God led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. They had no map. They had never been this way before. They followed the cloud or the pillar of fire through the desert, searching for the land of milk and honey. Sometimes when we live with illness, we find we are in a territory for which we have no map. We discover, perhaps for the first time, that we can be truly sick and weak. Or we may discover that a chronic condition has suddenly produced some unforeseen secondary effects. Or we find that a malady that was chronic has been pronounced terminal, and we are confronted with the fact of our mortality. The imagery of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night invite us to be alert for God's presence with us in these times. We may not have a sign as clear as these, yet God's presence is there with us when we do not know the way, when we have no compass, when we have no map, when we have no idea how a day will unfold. God is present through Christ in and through those times and those places. God is present within your broken body. God is present within each cell, within your breath, within your marrow. And God is present in and through those who tend you, those who help you, those who walk with you. Ever-present Christ, when I don't know what will come next, when I don't know what the day will bring, when I cannot control my circumstances, may I remember that you are as near to me as my breath, as close to me as the beating of my heart. Amen. Practice. Begin with finding a comfortable position, and then allow your breath to find its own gentle rhythm. You may find it helpful to breathe gently for several minutes. Then, if you are physically able, place one hand on your chest so that you can feel the beat of your heart. As you become aware of the steady beat, remember that God is closer to you than the beat of your heart. Let the prayer be nothing more than the awareness of the heartbeat and awareness of God's presence. Day 20. So mortals ate the bread of angels. He provided for them food enough. Psalm 78, verse 25. When the Israelites found themselves in the wilderness of Sinai, God gave them a kind of bread called manna for food. The manna would last only for a day, and it appeared as frost on the ground. Food for the journey. Food for the day, food that was sufficient for their needs. I am one who likes to know I have enough food for several days, if not for a week, whether that is food for the table or food for the spirit. I have trouble believing that if I have food for one day, there will be food again the following day. When our son Brian was diagnosed with brain cancer, we learned to cherish food for the day. Initially, that food looked like good post-operative reports, and then it began to look like diminished swelling and a good response to radiation. Later, it looked like Brian's happy participation in speech therapy and his steadily returning strength. Then one day the cancer returned. We were in new territory. We had no map, and we were completely out of hope, out of strategies to live with the cancer's return. Brian himself gave us the food, the manna that was enough. Later, there would be days when we, his dear friends and family, gave him the manna, food sufficient for the day, bread of hope, bread of life, bread of love, shared and received as we all lived with illness. O Christ, you are our bread and our sustenance. Grant me the grace this day to receive the bread of life and the food of hope that you offer. And may I share this bread with those I meet along the way. Amen. Practice. What kind of bread do you need this day? Bread of friendship, bread of solitude, bread of reassurance, bread of nutrition. Reflect on what kind of manna you might need right now, in this present moment. write a prayer asking for what you need, and also remembering all those who have that same need this day.